It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Well, here we are. Some of the most epic times in human history, and some people don't even know what's going on. And there's been a mass brainwashing psychosis agenda waged against humanity. Half of us have fallen for it. Half of us are still awake, still alive, still have a soul. Here's Leanne McAdoo with that report.
There's a story making the rounds this week that I think really encapsulates the reality that haters are going to hate and not everybody likes to see you winning. Other nations' approval of U.S. leadership under President Donald Trump hit a historical low of 30% in 2017. The measure signals an 18-point drop from 1 year earlier, when 48% approved of the national influence under former President Barack Obama. So let me get this straight. Nearly half of the world prefers it when the U.S. leads by capitulating and kowtowing and exercising strategic patience with a nuclear-armed madman, or sends billions of dollars to state sponsors of terror. Oh, here's billions of dollars in unmarked bills. Be a real shame if you used it to acquire nuclear weapons or to fund terrorism. Oh, and while I'm at it, being such a great negotiator, why don't I just go ahead and get the U.S. tied up into all these terrible international agreements that are only going to further decimate this once great nation. President Obama's leadership style only served to further embolden our adversaries like Russia and China and North Korea and Iran and militants in the Middle East. Oh, I'm sure his approval rankings were very high because leaders around the world really appreciated that our smooth jazz sellout teleprompter president had turned us into the United States of apologists. Well, guess what? He gone. Now you've got President Trump. So what could have possibly happened in the last year that has rattled the souls of those who were hoping for some more of Obama-era leadership style with Hillary Clinton? Let's see. In the last year, President Trump has cut off funding to terrorists. He stopped sending billions of dollars to the United Nations to support countries who do not have our best interests at heart. He's putting America first in trade negotiations, getting us out of those very bad deals. He's actually allowing our generals to make the decisions about when to take out terrorists. So we're seeing the near defeat of ISIS in 1 year's time, putting real pressure on North Korea and Iran, being adamant about immigration reform and putting American safety first above the demands of illegal immigrants. He's bringing jobs back to the U.S., lowering the corporate tax rate to make it more attractive to actually do business here in the United States. He's got respect for the flag, the rule of law, the American people. There's a soaring stock market. He helped shepherd through Congress a tax bill that's going to lift all boats. A stronger America? No, that is nothing that the globalists like. They thought that we were so close, that final nail was in the coffin, Hillary Clinton was in the bag. But then, boom, President Trump comes along with all of this winning. And now they're longing for the days of President Obama's soft leadership style, which was really nothing more than selling us out to not even the highest bidder. In fact, I think he paid them to help destroy our nation. But no more. Now we have got President Trump, who said himself he did not run to become the president of the world. He ran to become the president of the United States of America. So here's to President Trump's global leadership approval ranking continuing to tank.
So you've got the deep state and the tech left and the fake news trying to curtail the advancement of America, curtail the second American Revolution, curtail the true third great awakening. And they're all colluding to keep humanity down as we're about to break the shackles of the lying, manipulating, deceiving globalist. Now, you'll notice that the stock market has kind of stagnated this week. That's because I think it's waiting for Trump's speech at Davos, which is probably set to be legendary. We'll be right back with the War Room.
Twister.
This is the War Room.
The headline on Drudge, Collision Course. And that's truly where we are right now. We are at the crossroads of the Third Great Awakening, the Second American Revolution, and the globalist New World Order that have been keeping humanity down, poisoning the food, poisoning the water, poisoning the minds. We are at the crossroads of the great battle for the future right now. And there's so much news. Everything is incredible. I mean, look at this. You've got the FISA court document we covered yesterday, basically, I mean, pretty much showing you exactly what the Obama administration did, breaking the law to spy on President Trump and his team, and who knows who else, and how many people were involved with that. You've got the Peter Stroke text messages that go missing that QAnon says may have been talking about the assassination of the president. You've got them talking about secret societies. You've got them talking about insurance plans. This is all happening right now. And then you've got President Trump who tweets out missing text blaming Samsung, basically signaling to the people that he's going to be holding Samsung's feet to the fire here to get those texts or whoever it may be. Now you're hearing news that it might be the NSA that has to get those texts. You've got the Epoch Times that publishes essentially a schematic or a blueprint or a map, quote unquote, the insurance policy map showing the connection related to the Trump dossier, which is going to blow up in their face. I mean, the Obama administration is literally in so deep right now with the fake Russian dossier and then the fake FISA warrant to spy on President Trump and his team. And then the fake investigation into Russian collusion that led to entrapment of Flynn and Manafort. And this is all going on right now. Meanwhile, in the backdrop, you've got pedophiles getting arrested across the nation, kids in cages being saved, huge sex trafficking operations getting shut down. And then the big story that's kind of gone uncovered that is massive. I mean, my gosh, this is like, you can't even write this stuff. In Paris, California, an hour outside of Los Angeles, you had David and Louise Turpin, who have been accused of having their 13 kids in dungeons, having them shackled, having them strangled. David is allegedly going to admit to lewd sex acts. Investigators and authorities said they never thought that they'd see anything like this in their life. You had, I think it was an 18-year-old or something that was the average weight of a 7-year-old. You had a 29-year-old that was 82 pounds. They were starved. They were malnourished. They were strangled. They were not allowed to do anything except keep a diary. And investigators are saying that the diary is going to end up being the evidence that they need to basically bring these people in for unreal, unseen, unheard of things. And this is all going on. 13 children, a 2-year-old to a 29-year-old, even the 2-year-old was victimized. That's what they are saying. And then you look deeper into this story and it's just unbelievable. The 17-year-old girl escapes from her window and is able to get a 911 call off on a deactivated phone. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And then you come to find out, and this is where it gets, I mean, people, David Turpin is working for Northrop Grumman, which is a defense contracting company. And apparently, Northrop Grumman was about to transfer him to Oklahoma, and he was literally within a day or two of transferring the entire family to Oklahoma from California. When they got there, the bags were packed, the boxes were packed, and they were about to move. And magically, this girl escapes just in the nick of time to alert authorities to whatever it is was going on there. Now, I don't know if I should really go deep down the rabbit hole with this. In fact, I won't today. But let's just say there is a rabbit hole here. And this could, I mean, it's honestly just unbelievable these times we're living in. And this is such a, this is a thing of providence with all the other arrests going on, with all the other investigations going on, that this would just happen to happen. And you'd have these 13 kids rescued. And who knows what else was going on with these people? These people have apparently moved a lot of times. Who knows if there weren't some kids that didn't make it? I mean, if you're 29 years old and 82 pounds, you're probably on the verge of dying. So who knows how many kids they may have had that didn't make it. And then you look at these people, and they look like some spirit cookers. So you've got all of that going on. Meanwhile, you've got the entire tech left now with Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff saying that everyone on Twitter that supports Trump is a Russian bot, and everyone that tweets out hashtag release the memo is a Russian bot. I remember when that hit last week, I at first I got like a small spattering of a few people saying, hey, look at this, Owen, look at this. And I was like shocked. I was like, oh my gosh, Twitter is sending out emails and messages to people saying that you're a Russian bot. And it was just like, whoa. I was like, I got to get these people on. And then it just came in an overflow. And then I got 30, and then I got 40. And it's like all these people like, look at this notification I got from Twitter. They're saying I'm a Russian bot. And it's like, I know you. You are a human. Oh, but this is the games that they play. And then Pencilneck, Adam Schiff, and Dianne Feinstein, excuse me. I think I said Nancy Pelosi order. It's Dianne Feinstein and Pencilneck Schiff that are actually sending these letters from Congress to Zuckerberg and Dorsey saying that we're Russian bots and shut us down. Then the Pope comes out and says fake news is evil, used for political gains. I mean, who do you think that is? You know that CNN, this is an old story, but did you know that CNN, when the government shut down, reported that undetected asteroids could threaten Earth during the government shutdown? Did you know that? Did you know that CNN told you were going to die from an asteroid during the government shutdown, potentially? You've got all this going on. Then you've got the Women's March. Oh my gosh. So Fleckus Talks gets people to admit that they want to kill Trump. Millie Weaver has a man flatulate on her. Ugh. Okay. And then we're in New York and we get spit on and spat on. Guys, I know it's not censored, but let's just roll the B-roll of this video. Now, here's the deal, folks. The video that Darren McBreen made, a compilation between... Actually, just pause it right there, because I want to explain this in a second. Darren McBreen makes a video, a compilation of everything we got in New York and L.A. and all the craziest stuff. That video is on the Alex Jones YouTube channel, and just a compilation protest video usually gets 50,000 views in a heartbeat, finishes with 100K easy. That video got played on the Alex Jones show. That video was linked on Drudge for more than 24 hours. And that video got played on the Savage Nation and still to today doesn't have 100,000 views. That is 110% censorship and deliberately knocking our viewers down, folks. 110%. That is impossible to be on the Alex Jones show, Drudge Report, and the Savage Nation and not get a million views. On Facebook, it has over 500,000 views. Why doesn't it have the views on YouTube? That is blatant sabotage, 100%. Now, that individual that spit on us three times, swung at me twice, we notified at least 8 different New York police officers that man did it. We had him caught. We showed him the evidence. They refused to arrest him. Our poll of the day is, why didn't they arrest him? But now I've got new footage. New footage from New York. Show the new footage, guys. That same individual, we're calling him the serial spitter, spit on another person out there that day. And at the same time, cops were right there on the scene, saw the whole thing, and still let him go. There he is. Spit on the guy. There he is. Another incident where he spits on a guy and doesn't get arrested. Police have come into this video in about 5 seconds here. Why didn't the police arrest this man? Why did he have all that stingray equipment?
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your co-host, Roger Stone. In a 40-year career in American politics, I never thought I would see a lawless FBI actually destroying evidence. See, when Attorney General Jeff Sessions rejected the calls to prosecute those at the IRS for destruction of evidence, he set a very, very bad precedent. Likewise, when Jeff Sessions said he wouldn't pursue Hillary Clinton for her missing, meaning wiped, as in beach-cleared emails, he did our entire nation a disservice. When Jeff Sessions said he wouldn't do anything about Hillary Clinton's two top aides, Cheryl Mills and Heather Samuelson, getting immunity from the FBI as the FBI allowed them to destroy their laptop computers, well, he opened a Pandora's box of spoliation. Now, frankly, every federal official who finds himself in trouble will simply destroy the evidence. After all, others who broke the law were not prosecuted. Why should they be prosecuted? The latest five-month catch of missing texts is more than just sand kicked in the face by the beach bullies of the FBI. And therefore, even though I have called repeatedly for Jeff Sessions to be fired for a variety of very good reason, this reason may be worst of all. Either Jeff Sessions mans up like Charles Atlas and shows the deep state beach bullies that they have to go, that they too will be prosecuted, or Jeff Sessions himself must go. There is no law if there is no enforcement. Attorney General Jeff Sessions now must act to undo the harm that he has already done. Now, I'm very happy to say joining me via Skype is my good friend Milo Yiannopoulos, who has recently moved to the greater South Florida area. It was my great privilege to join him on his terrific show last Friday, and I give you my friend Milo. Welcome to the War Room.
Hey, how are you doing, sir? Good to see you. Thank you so much for having me on. Always a pleasure and a privilege. One of my favorite people in the galaxy. And yeah, thank you for coming down. You can find Roger's appearance on my show, YouTube and Facebook and whatever. And yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, we are delighted that you could be with us here today. Last week on your show, you made some excellent points about the evolution in sonogram technology, which I think you and I agreed is adding to the growing support for the right to life. And I really found your arguments compelling, and I'd like to talk about that because I am one who has gone full cycle on this. I began as a pro-life Republican. There was a period in which I believed I was pro-choice because I didn't like the government telling you what you could do with your body, man or woman. But now I've come full cycle, and I was proud to see our president stand and show up with the pro-life marchers. So lay it on us, Milo.
Well, I'm fascinated by this. It seems to be one of the few arenas in public life, in the culture wars and subjects that really actually matter. Seems to be one of the very few areas in which conservatives are not just winning, but pulling ahead by miles. The conservatives, you know, people who believe in life, are winning this one. And one of the drivers, and this is, again, unprecedented because in almost all technological advance seems to push people to the left, to immiserate them, to make them lonely, to push them further to the left. It's obviously the way that these platforms are architected, the way the news they're receiving is architected. All this stuff is designed to do so. This is one of the few instances where technological advance is pushing people into more conservative and more spiritual positions. So basically ultrasound, which every mother has when she's pregnant, is coming on leaps and bounds. You know, the sort of hockey stick evolution from 2D, 3D, what they now call 4D, meaning moving images and not just the flat pictures. It used to be the case, certainly when I was being carried, let's say, that there'd be this grainy image, you know, these sort of like, you know, blue spots on black or some other kind of weird grainy image, but you could just about, oh, is that a foot? Is that the head? Nobody really knew. Ultrasound technology is now so sophisticated that if you go to one of the top hospitals now, you can see a fully realized three-dimensional image of your child in flesh tones, and the whole, you know, the baby looks like a baby, like it looks inside the womb. Previously, I think it's been easy to imagine that it is some kind of amoeba-like single-celled organism, you know, right up until it comes out of you, because the only pictures that you've been able to see of it have been these weird spliced medical images. But now ultrasound technology is getting to the stage where you can see what your child looks like, and you can see what your child looks like from a really, really early age, from, you know, from a month or two in, as your child's body takes shape alongside, of course, its immortal soul. And now I think, and this is the supposition of a few doctors and influential people who contributed to a Fox News report, I think this is contributing to a huge discomfort that women are now feeling with aborting babies whose faces they can see. Now, I know that not all InfoWars viewers are going to be sort of ferociously pro-life. Some of them are going to be the position that you used to hold, which is get the hell out of our private affairs. But from my point of view, as somebody of faith and somebody who believes that there is a simple case of right and wrong, don't murder your children, this is a rare example of technological advance. Moving us in the right political direction, because so many developments, so many advances these days seem to push society in general to the far left.
Very, very well put. Now, I'm going to pick this up on the other side, but I would be remiss if I did not mention that for 12 years I have curated the best and worst dressed list, picking up a tradition from the late Mr. Blackwell. And this year, my friend Milo moved from just being one of those of incredible and inimitable style to the lifetime achievement category, along with such greats as Larry Kudlow, for example, and others. I salute you, Milo, as a man who looks as good in leopard skin tights, as he does in a nicely cut Savile Row suit. I salute you for your inimitable style, and you now have a lifetime position on this august list. There were so many
who
came so close. Go ahead.
I will tell you, Roger, as somebody who courts controversy and who enjoys being thrown out of clubs, I'm not the kind of person showered with awards and honors. I'm not the sort of person who is constantly being invited to receive, an award for this, an award for that, invited to receive honorary doctorates. That's not me. But I have received a couple.
This is the return of the Republic. And this is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Roger Stone, and we're on the War Room with the inimitable and always fashionable Milo, joining us here at the War Room. Sorry to cut you off there, my friend. Now, Milo, you were born and educated abroad, but you are a keen observer of the American political scene. What is your assessment of the administration of President Donald Trump after year one?
I don't think anyone's going to be too upset with me for saying that even Donald Trump's most enthusiastic supporters, of which I was one, had their questions about how he was going to be in government. Clearly, an amazing campaigner, one of the best campaigners in living memory, if not in the entire, in the history of the American presidency, one of the most effective people out there drumming up excitement and getting people out to vote for him. But how is he going to be in the Oval Office? Well, even people who loved him weren't really sure about that. Well, what's the result been? Let's look at, you know, let's look at the results. He has accomplished more than anyone else who was running for president would have been able to do, more than any other Republican. And the most delicious thing for me, the most delightful and enjoyable thing to watch, as far as I'm concerned, has been to watch these humiliating, screeching U-turns from the never-Trumpers at National Review, who have desperately clawing at a plausible, respectable position. Like, it was never Trump, vote for Hillary. Never Trump, don't vote at all. Never Trump, doesn't matter what happens. If he gets in, the whole republic is going to crumble. And now it's, well, let's praise him when he does good things. And it's been delicious. It's been delightful. Their, you know, beloved candidates, Ted Cruz, whoever it is that they wanted on, Rubio, whatever, would have been able to achieve nothing compared to the sometimes dysfunctional, always colorful, but massively effective against all odds and expectations, massively effective administration. It has not been a traditional administration. It hasn't functioned in the ordinary way, but it was always designed to come in and blow things up. This was a coup by insurgents, if you like. This was a shot across the bow of the establishment, the deep state, all the rest of it, by the voters. This was an insurgent countercultural administration from day one. So it has not governed in the usual ordinary way, with the result that the swamp, the establishment characters right and left have been horrified by the way that it works. But that's exactly what people voted for. They voted for a guy who was going to do things a bit differently. They certainly got that. And the guy has been hugely pro-life. The tax stuff is great. Record low levels, of Black and Hispanic immigration, lowest levels ever recorded. Unemployment is amazing. You know, what more could Republican voters possibly ask for at this stage in a presidency? And hasn't Trump? And here's the plain fact of the matter. Hasn't Trump accomplished double, triple what any other Republican running for president last year would have accomplished? I think so.
Yeah, it's really extraordinary how much he's been able to accomplish when you consider the intractable opposition to him among the elites in the two major parties. It makes his accomplishments even more incredible. I also take the view,
was an amazing accomplishment.
I don't think any other Republican would have beaten Hillary Clinton. If you look at the results in Michigan, if you look at the results in Pennsylvania, if you look at Trump's gain among blue-collar, largely Catholic, working-class voters, and you compare them to where Mitt Romney fell short, where John McCain fell short, in all honesty, if the party had nominated a John Kasich, or God forbid, a Ted Cruz, we would have lost. Hillary Clinton would be in the White House, and the decline of America would be inexorable. Not only do I think Trump was the only Republican who could win, but when you consider the deep-seated enmity for him from the political class and their resolve to resist him at all costs, his achievements are incredible. Now, he's jetting to Davos. In my heart of hearts, I hope that he goes there to announce America is back. America will no longer be the patsy for the world. And by the way, I've locked all the doors and you're all under arrest. Well, in my fondest dreams. Taking a victory lap, and he deserves one.
Yeah, I think he does. And I think he's going to descend on a panicked, terrified global elite who don't know what to do and who realize they've been beaten. Trump keeps winning. He won against the NFL. He won against Chuck Schumer and the Democrats just now. There's something about this guy. There's something about him. He just keeps getting through what he wants to get through. And he is not going to Davos as a hated, pathetic, ineffectual, loathed, accidental leader of the free world. He is going in triumph. He is arriving in Davos as a triumphant leader of the free world, whose first year in office has been distinguished by accomplishment against all the odds, whose election was against all the odds, who is on the right side of the arc of history, which is pointing toward nationalism, populism, strong borders, anti-political correctness, and who has arrived to mess them up. And they know it. And they're terrified. And they should be terrified. And the more outrageous he is in Davos, the better. Because if you think Hillary Clinton deserved it, she's nothing compared to the people who hang out at the World Economic Forum. These, you know, the World Economic Forum is the apotheosis, the zenith of the kind of dark globalist forces that Donald Trump ran a campaign against. And he is entering the lion's den. And in my view, he should take a little bit of that Nikki Haley, the U.S. is taking names, attitude, a little bit of that spirit, and arrive in Davos like a, you know, like a Category 5 hurricane, and let them know exactly what is coming. The people are coming for them. We don't agree with their prescriptions on immigration. We don't agree with the, you know, we don't appreciate and we have not benefited from globalization and, you know, this extraordinary capitulation of every major international organization to far left social and cultural policies. We reject all of it. And finally, there's a president who agrees and doesn't mind saying so. I'm so excited just to see what kind of firestorms that he leaves behind him in Davos. Because I know that when he gets on Air Force One to come back to America, the world is never quite going to be the same again.
Well, from your mouth to God's ear, you made a very good point earlier, which is the established political order just can't get used to his unique personal style. The guy's not a confection. He's not a fabrication. Yes, he's eccentric, no doubt about it. He does things his way. So did Franklin Roosevelt. So did Theodore Roosevelt. So did Abraham Lincoln. He's not out of some cookie cutter. He's not reading a poll that tells him what to say in order to be popular. He's not reading focus groups that tell him what position he needs to take. He gets out front and leads. He speaks from the heart. He speaks from the gut. And that's why I don't believe these public opinion polls. It's why I believe that he's more popular than the pollsters tell us. Remember, these are the same people who said he would definitely lose to Hillary Clinton. I find that his support grows with a booming economy. So let me thank you, Milo, for joining us, taking time out of your busy schedule. Tell folks where they can see you and how they can subscribe to your terrific program.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much for your kind words. Thank you so much for your kind words. You can subscribe at dangerous.com/join to the Milo Show. We're live after January 29th. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, this is a must-see, folks. So please subscribe now. Milo's promised to come back to the War Room. Many, many thanks for joining us here today. And folks, if you have not hit the InfoWars store today, you can go first to subscribe for Milo's show and then head over to the InfoWars store because we also need your support. I'll be right back. Stone, and joining me in the studio today is Amin Ali, a literal legend in the bodybuilding world. Now, if you have been watching the Alex Jones Show or the War Room, you know that I am a major and honest proponent of the InfoWars line of products. You can go, as I've said many times, to Walgreens or CVS or the corner drugstore, and you can find all natural formulas that claim to do and claim to be what we sell at InfoWars. But folks, they're really not the same. Alex Jones and the scientists that he works with use the very best ingredients. There are no fillers. There are no second-rate natural nutraceuticals. We absolutely offer the best of the best. I've known Amin Alai, literally a legend in the bodybuilding world, for over 25 years. He was my personal trainer when I lived in Washington, D.C. He trains me yet today, which is how I stay in the peak physical condition that I'm in at my advanced age. But he is also a major fan of the InfoWars product lines. And I thought I would bring him on to talk about which of the products he likes and how he has seen their effectiveness. First of all, you were the first person to put me on a low-carb, high-protein diet.
That's correct.
And I know you are a great proponent of True Whey protein. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the InfoWars products that you like, Amin.
One of the things I really like about the True Whey protein from InfoWars products is that it's a grass-fed whey. So it's a great source of a low-fat protein that has essential building blocks, including branched-chain amino acids for rebuilding muscle after a hard workout. So that's the main reason why I like this particular quality of a product, because it's a grass-fed source, making it a much higher quality protein powder.
And you're a great proponent of a post-workout meal.
That's correct.
This is something I learned from Amin, which is absolutely essential. He is opposed to training on an empty stomach, but he also insists that you hit a high-protein meal. In this case, I find a whey protein shake from the InfoWars line, which I admit I used to mix with soy milk until Rob Dew set me straight. Now I mix with either almond milk or rice milk. Is it true that soy can actually spike your natural estrogen levels?
It is. It basically is a plant that mimics what we naturally have as our body's sign of estrogen. So by taking in more soy, your body has the ability to basically convert it straight to estrogen.
Now, I turned you on to Caveman, which, as you know, I'm using in a program with the True Whey protein. Mm-hmm. Tell us your analysis.
So I really like this Caveman product. It's a new product from what I've been using. I think it's a paleo, true paleo nutrition. It's made from bone broth, turmeric root, chaga mushrooms, and bee pollen and other super nutrients that are very hard to come by. I mean, he put a lot of work into making this a very, very high quality product, and it's actually 50% off right now, which makes it something that I think people can afford to try.
The turmeric root, as you were telling me over lunch, is particularly effective. Now, last time I was in Austin, I saw Alex's son, who has been on a rigorous program using Caveman with high-protein supplements, and he is literally, for a young man, he is packing on the muscle. Folks, this stuff really works. And the thing is, when you support us at the InfoWars store, you're not only getting the very best cutting-edge nutraceuticals, you're helping advance our expansion here at InfoWars. We don't have corporatist fat cats sitting in the wings subsidizing our operations. We only have you, our listeners, and our viewers. Tell us what else you like in the product line, Amin.
I like the vitamin and mineral fusion. It's a basic, simple thing that people should add to their diet every day, because they're not getting usually the vitamins and minerals that you need to have a complete profile of essential vitamins, aminos, and it also has amino acids. So it's vitamins, minerals, and amino acids. It's something that should be taken every day to maintain and support good health.
So, again, folks, you can find extraordinary discounts on the InfoWars store now. And when you support the InfoWars store, you support the expansion that Alex Jones has mapped out for us. Whether it is the Real News with David Knight in the morning or the famous Alex Jones show, which is indispensable every day, midday, or our expanded programming here at the War Room, none of this is possible if you don't visit the InfoWars store. Now, Amin, in a typical training routine, how many body parts a day? how many days rest? What is the regimen in which you would use, say, caveman and the True Whey protein to supplement a routine?
So with caveman and True Whey protein, I would say work out with weights every other day, and then I would do the True Whey protein post-workout, and then I would do caveman every other, the alternating days with cardio, and I would do the caveman pre-workout in the morning and then sometime in the middle of the day after the workout.
So as you know, when I met you, I was a great aficionado of the late Vince Guaranda, the iron guru.
Legendary.
He did not believe in cardio, but you're a believer. Tell us about that.
So I believe cardio is good for the heart, but I think the iron guru Vince Guaranda, he said that it would eat away muscle, and that is true, but we compensate in calories, and we have things like the True Whey protein, which will prevent you from losing muscle in the event that you do cardio for your heart.
All right, so there you have it. Don't take it from me. Take it from Amin Ali, a.k.a. the doctor. Man knows more about nutrition than anybody I know on the planet. Folks, these are the very best of the best, and we cannot, without any question, continue our extraordinary expansion here without your support. So as I push Amin Ali off the set, I thank him for joining us, and you heard it from him. He is a firm believer in the InfoWars line of products, and literally, folks, a legend in the bodybuilding world. Owen, I'm glad to hear that you have your voice back. I enjoyed your reporting from New York. I think more than ever, between yesterday's revelations over the 100-page FISA document, the 4 pages that we're wrangling about, we have the globalists on the run. We have the lefties on the run. Still disappointed you didn't bring me one of those pink hats from New York, but I'll get over it.
Sorry, Roger. I mean, again, you got to consider that some of those hats may have had lice or been riddled with bed bugs. I didn't want to do that to you. So, you know, that's a serious issue that we just didn't want to have you dealing with. The voice isn't completely back yet, but I'm glad it's sounding better than before. But these times really are crazy, Roger. I mean, I know you've been around politics for a long time. You've been a member of multiple campaigns. But, I mean, I would imagine that even a guy of your experience has to say that this is something unprecedented, unseen ever before, what President Trump has done and how the deep state is really in full-on panic mode right now.
No, they definitely are. This is why Mueller is pushing so hard for an interview with the president. This is a perjury trap. This is an attempt to regain the upper hand. Where is the Russian collusion, Owen? Well, whoops, there isn't any. None whatsoever. Not a scintilla. So we've come full cycle. We're right back where we started from. The president has the authority to fire Mr. Comey. He should have done so a little sooner. But that is what the special prosecutor is banking on. And now he hopes to box the president into some obstruction of justice charge. Mr. President, if you're listening, from your friend Roger Stone, from your supporters like Owen Schroyer and Alex Jones, don't step into the trap. Tell Mr. Mueller to pound sand. On behalf of myself and the entire crew here at the War Room, we appreciate your patronage. We appreciate your support. Nothing here we're doing is possible without your loyal support at the InfoWars store. And I want to also mention, before we sign off, that if you're really interested in politics, my book, The Making of the President 2016, the inside story on how Donald Trump fomented an American revolution, can be found at the InfoWars store now at $19.95, a price far better than Amazon. Please order your copy at the InfoWars store today, and God bless you.
Memo, the FISA court documents, and the missing texts are so important right now, so key right now, that the deep state is going through full panic, and that you have Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and the tech left doing everything they possibly can in their power to stop this information from getting out. They're now just beyond shadow banning people. I mean, just banning people, saying they're Russian bots. If you tweet out hashtag release the memo, I mean, this is full bore panic time, full bore hide the truth from the world, full bore pull the wool over the eyes of the planet, and they're not going to get away with it. But let's flash back to something that was said, I think this was said during the campaign in 2016, when Newt Gingrich goes on Fox News and says Trump does not belong to the secret society.
And now they're faced with a very real prospect of Donald Trump becoming the leader of the party, and it absolutely drives them crazy. They just cannot imagine sharing. Well, because he's an outsider. He's not them. He's not part of the club. He's uncontrollable. You know, he hasn't been through the initiation rites. He didn't belong to the secret society. And I think that they don't see him. They have no idea how to relate to him.
So there you go. Trump's not in the secret society, the deep state, the globalists, the New World Order. And now we find out that Peter Strzok, in his text messages, the FBI agent who was also in charge of investigating Hillary Clinton, Cheryl Mills, said he needed to have an insurance plan for President Trump. What I originally thought that was the fake dirty dossier, now I'm beginning to think he was talking about a political assassination. Deletes all these texts that QAnon alleges may have included talks of a political assassination. But we do find the text where Strzok is talking about a secret society. And then Ron Johnson from Wisconsin goes on Fox News to talk about what Strzok was doing.
What this is all about is further evidence of corruption, more than bias, but corruption at the highest levels of the FBI and that secret society. We have an informant that's talking about a group that were holding secret meetings off-site. There's so much smoke here. There's so much suspicion.
Let's stop there. A secret society, secret meetings off-site of the Justice Department.
Correct.
And you have an informant saying that?
Yes.
Is there anything more about that?
No, we have to dig into it. This
Brett
is not
Baer's
a distraction.
Shocked. He's like, what?
Again, this
like,
is
really?
This is bias, potentially corruption.
It's like, yeah, man, the deep state
is
real. The coup against President Trump was real.
And by the way, Robert Mueller used to run the FBI. He is in no position to do an investigation over this kind of misconduct. So I think at this point in time, we probably should be looking at a special counsel to undertake this investigation. But Congress is going to have to continue to dig.
So this whole thing is about to absolutely blow apart at the seams. I mean, we are literally talking about a ticking time bomb here. But they may have erased those texts, but President Trump signals to Samsung, to me, that's how I view that tweet. Others have disagreed with me. I say he calls out Samsung on Twitter to try to get them to cooperate with getting these text messages. But we already know that the NSA can get those text messages. And so here's Bob Goodlatte from Virginia talking about how we can get those text messages.
Joe DeGeneva said on my radio show that the NSA has every text message, that we can get those text messages if need be. What do you know about that?
We should search every place to find them because I think they still exist in some form somewhere. I'm pleased that Attorney General Sessions has made a commitment to investigate this and find them, but we should also undertake whether there is some way to gather them from some other source. It is very important, but even the text
and
messages
the
we have...
You couldn't pull that down. Mike Rogers, I think, knew about all this going on. Admiral Rogers knew about all this was going on and was pretending to go along with it, but was really informing Trump on the back end. We'll see how that goes. But the NSA has the text. We got the text. This whole thing is about to blow up, and it's really just unprecedented. It's really unprecedented, folks.
Let's make talk radio great again.
This is the War Room.
Don't you dare, don't you tread on me. Don't you tread on me.
This is America. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer, joined now by Millie Weaver in studio. And if you followed everything we did over the weekend covering the Women's March, you'll know that both Millie and I, well, we experienced some pretty radical stuff. I mean, honestly, it's the kind of stuff where if we're just telling someone, I mean, if you came up to someone and you were like, yeah, I went to cover a Women's March and I got farted on.
Oh, yeah.
They wouldn't believe you.
By a grown adult man, too.
And he really made he made an event of it, too.
And what's interesting is that some of the men out there, literally, there's another footage where a guy flipped me off and cursed me out while I was interviewing
someone. Pretty much
someone.
All day with
and,
that.
And so I'm like, okay, so you're out here at a woman's march supporting women, but you're going to come up and flip me off and curse me out when I'm a woman reporter? You're going to come up and fart at me? A woman, while you're saying you're supporting women? I mean, this is ridiculous. They don't get that there's a level of hypocrisy that they're engaging in. And it was very frustrating. A lot of these people are just under mass hypnosis from all of the mainstream media and the propaganda that's being spewed against President Trump.
Plus the soy, plus the fluoride in the water. I mean, plus the big pharmaceutical pills.
Exactly. Now, only.
I mean, how do you explain that? Look at that.
You
what
know,
is that?
The ladies in the...
And then they're going to complain about a grab me by the... you know? I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, so basically these ladies dressed up like female genitalia. How is that not degrading women to essentially just have yourself as one giant genitalia? You know, we shouldn't
have... Yeah, the hat wasn't enough, right? They had the hat last year. Then they just went, oh, I'm just going to do a full body suit.
Just the whole thing. And they had these gloves with sticks... So that they could, like, I don't know if they were grabbing each other or touching each other, but it was pretty graphic. And there are children at these marches.
Oh, a lot of them bring their children. Some of the most foul-mouthed, disgusting people bring their kids out to these things.
Now, Owen, did you see a bunch of soy lattes littering the floor in New York?
You know what? We didn't really have an opportunity to check the streets afterwards. So I don't really know. I do know that last year at the DC march, though, we experienced the same thing where coffee cups were everywhere and all this. But you know, it's crazy because we had Paul Joseph Watson. There's one of the foul mouthed adults that wanted to hit me.
Wow. With a
right
child.
In front of his kid. Yeah, right in front of his
setting
kid.
Setting an example that it's okay to come up and bully somebody because you have a different belief system.
But look at the guy's eyes. I mean, you can tell that guy is just enraged, demonic. I mean, really has some serious mental problems. Just like you captured of all the trash after the Women's March in L.A., the same thing happened last year after the Women's March in D.C. You know, again, it's just these people don't have any concern or care for anything. It's just they get together once a year for this march and they think it's some pseudo victory for them.
And yet these are the same ones that literally complain about climate change and pollution and they want to go green and they're likely to support Green Party candidates and
say Trump hates the environment. Yeah. You guys hate the environment. Ew.
You guys need to restrain your daily activities. Oh, you can't have any plastic bags in Austin, Texas. But meanwhile, these feminists can go litter the entire streets filled with coffee cups and anti-Trump posters and literature. Who's going to pick it up? Well, I guess they're not expecting that they themselves need to pick up after themselves. And yes, Paul Joseph Watson, I got to hand it to you, man. You really called it. The fact that there were all these soy latte cups on the floor. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't expecting that. That's crazy.
And then we had a caller call in and kind of took it to another level. We already knew that there was an agenda out there to poison the population. I mean, it's depopulation. But they put soy in everything. All the condiments, barbecue sauce. I mean, they literally put your chips, the crackers. I mean, it's in everything. We just had the bodybuilder on explaining how soy makes you have increased estrogen. That's how you get these soy boys. That's how you get these wuss men. They want to destroy men because only real men are going to stand up against these people in the FBI. Only real men are going to have the courage to do that, like President Trump. But, you know, it's crazy, Millie. They complain about global warming, like, you know, littering and, you know, cow farts. But you literally caught them farting and littering.
Yes, that's right. He farted at me and he farted at me, a woman reporter, and they littered the streets with their empty soy latte cups and Trump anti-Trump literature. But here's the reality here, Owen. I will say this.
The guy farted on you, Billy. I'm sorry. It's so absurd. I can't even deal with this.
I know. I just laughed. Oh. I wasn't even mad. I was just like, are you serious? You really just did that? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I think my 3-year-old cousin did that to me once.
Yeah, that's something toddler-like behavior when people get triggered. But here's what I want to touch on a slightly different, more serious note. I would not give the liberals the entire credit of the entire Women's March, meaning about 500,000 people showed up to Los Angeles for this Women's March. And I will say that it wasn't just all about hating Trump. Yes, there was Trump hate there, bona fide Trump hate and crazy SJWs. But there were also a lot of men and women that were literally just out there because they think in their minds they're doing this to help support women and women's rights, which there's nothing wrong with that. If anything, they should be out there holding posters saying, we don't support Sharia law. We don't support the way women are being oppressed in other countries. We don't support female genital mutilation. But see, you have these feminist organizations that like to co-opt women's movements, just like they do everything else. Like Black Lives Matter was co-opted and turned into a violent anti-cop hating group. So they co-opt the hashtag Me Too to turn into some deranged third wave feminist agenda. But in reality, what's so bad about talking about sexual predators and pedophiles and calling them out? There's nothing wrong with that. But then see, when you have third wave feminists jumping on and start accusing men of touching their leg or slapping their butt when they're slapping other guys' butts, it gets ridiculous and it becomes just about grandstanding as a victim.
Or one of the guys farts on you. I mean, it's like unbelievable stuff. We had some protesters get caught out there by Fleckus Talk saying that they want to kill President Trump. It's time for the guillotine. I mean, these people are really, they've hit another level of derangement. And the amazing thing is, too, when I was reviewing some of your video, there's clearly someone is training and funding these people, because we had the same type of situation where you get these fake security guards in like the neon vests, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they run up to you and they try to block you from talking to people. They tell people they're not allowed to talk to you. We saw the same people in New York that you saw out there. They have the same vest. They have the same training techniques. They tell people not to talk to you. Then they form a line and basically build a wall around you.
Yes, we had a group of women all wearing those safety vests, and they said that they were linking arms, building a wall essentially between the cops and the religious Christian preachers and the marchers. So they said, oh, well, we're trying to just make sure the people on this side are safe and the people on that side are safe. And I said, well, isn't that what border security walls do? They keep people on either side safe. Ooh. And then she didn't want to talk to me and got really upset.
Oh, your logic. Your logic offended her.
She was like, what? What? No, I don't stand for that. They get really worried when they then realize that they actually support something that leftist progressive regressives would say is racist or offensive in some manner, which we know it's just reality. It's logic.
Yeah, but that's what it is. It's like it's like uncharted territory for them. It's like uncharted waters for them, logic. It's like, so they go into the uncharted waters of logic and they're like, whoa, no, I can't do this. This is too real for me. And so they back off and they just go right to their hateful messages. But someone is obviously training these people to do this, to stand there and to block this and to stop free speech from happening. So they're the ones that really hate free speech. And it's time to find out who's training these people. But we know who it is. We'll be right back. All right. So we're covering the craziness from the Women's March, but there's a big story we're going to talk about right after that. But, you know, Harrison was out there with us, too, in New York, and he was pointing something out that he wanted to talk about with this Women's March. So we bring Harrison in with Millie Weaver here on the War Room. Harrison, what was it you were saying during the break?
Yeah, well, y'all were talking about how if, you know, this march was about women, and was it about women or was it anti-Trump? And I just remembered that when we first got to the Women's March, the actual title of our live stream was Watch Live Women's March Protesters Turn on Democrats, because you're wearing the Bill Clinton rape shirt. And our whole idea was, well, the Clintons have sort of fallen out of favor. And so this will be kind of fun because we'll get all the Democrats to admit finally that, you know, the Clintons are trash. And
Bill Clinton is a rapist.
Right. We were like, okay, it's a women's march. We'll go and we'll get them to admit finally that Bill Clinton is a rapist. And that totally failed. They just, it was actually just all about anti-Trump.
Yeah. They all ignored my Bill Clinton rape t-shirt and they all commented on my Trump scarf every time.
Right. And in a, like, in a way, we were actually participating. Like, we weren't crashing their march. We were participating in their march, going, great.
No.
Now that we're standing up for women, we're standing up for all women.
Yeah, Juanita Broderick, Kathleen Willey, the Clinton's victims, absolutely.
Right, as you say, that's where the Me Too movement really should have started.
That's where the Me Too movement really did start to me
exactly.
in St. Louis.
And those women weren't just necessarily trying to grandstand on victimhood. They were actually coming out.
No, what coverage did they get? They never got the coverage that these other women got.
They got negative coverage, if anything, and they had other women like Hillary coming out against them really hard. So it was hard for them. So you would think that more people, like I said, at this Women's March would be parading around the women that were raped by Bill Clinton, allegedly, or parading around the oppression from women in Middle Eastern countries under Sharia law, having to wear hijabs. Just now in Saudi Arabia, getting the right to drive a car. Women in America have the most rights. I said that to a guy. I said, women in America have the most rights. We have rights here. We do have equal rights. You know, and of course they throw out facts, fake facts, I guess you say, saying, oh, women don't have equal pay. Well, then if that were true, then there would be a shortage of jobs out there for men. You'd have more women being employed and a large amount of unemployed men out there because, hey, why companies are greedy. They're going to say, why hire
right,
a
they
man
think
when
that
I could just hire
anyone.
A woman for the same thing for cheaper?
That's what they say more than anyone else,
yeah.
too. So that, again, this is their double think. It's their double logic. None of it ever makes sense. It's really just incredible, again, that it just puts on display how fake they are, how fake the march is. They don't, women's rights, give me a break. I had a similar thing where I went up to a woman, and she was a younger girl, and I said, but don't you think that America has been the bastion of freedom for women? And that the great thing about America, like you said, it's where women's rights really, I mean, took the next leap. And she was agreement. She was like, yeah. Yeah, and I was like, so why do you think there's some sort of problem? And it always goes, oh, Trump's in the White House, or oh, unequal pay. It's always the same talking point.
Exactly, and it's because these people are being controlled with, you know, through the mainstream media and the fake news. And that's why I do think that these people are redeemable. I know that that seems so far out there, but after speaking to a lot of these people, when you realize that literally they just don't know the truth, they don't have the truth. So that's why if we had more people, our listeners out there mobilizing, going and talking to people, trying to wake these people up, you know, it's going to take work. You have to go out there and have these conversations with them. Most of these people are just literally, they have the wool over their eyes. They believe everything they hear on the news and they're just being deceived.
Well, I'll tell you that's different than what we experienced in New York. These people wanted nothing to do with fact. It didn't matter how blatant, I mean, the sky is blue. Shut up, Trump supporting bigot racist. I mean, literally, like, insane. President Trump has appointed more females to his administration than any other president in U.S. history. Everyone I told that just told me to shut up. You know, so
well,
like,
you know, you're going to get those people. You're going to get the people that are just frothing of the mouth nuts.
Literally.
But then there's also going to be the ones, and especially I noticed a lot of the younger women were actually more willing to engage. Mm. They weren't necessarily cussing me out or harassing me, but they were just really under the wrong impression.
Yeah, good. Maybe they could look up to you too and be like, oh, wow, here's an independent woman that's actually out here getting hated on by these people.
By men and question, wait, what's going on here? Why is she being hated on? Well, I have different beliefs. I'm a conservative. I don't think that women should be aborting babies. I don't think a baby in the womb is your body. So I don't think that's your choice. So yeah, I have different belief systems. And so therefore I deserve to be farted at and cussed
out. Seriously,
does
it get any lower than that? I mean, I get farting, spitting. I mean, you don't get more lower than that in these situations. On a woman? And that would happen. So anyway, we're going to move forward because Millie has covered this stuff before, especially you were down in California covering a big arrest that they made not too long ago. And this is the David and Luis Turpin. Now, we were talking a little bit off air about some of our theories. We don't need to bring everything to air now. But, I mean, this is a crazy story. 13 children... basically abused, tortured, shackled up. You've had to cover this stuff before. You went down to California to cover this stuff before. I mean, you know, the most amazing thing is, and that you covered before again, is that the neighbors seem to have no idea. Magically, the neighbors seem to have no idea. I mean, it's like how you can't even believe these stories when you read them.
Well, what's interesting is actually if you look into it, you see that the children were made to be on irregular schedules. So they were actually made to be awake all throughout the night and then they go to sleep around 4 or 5 a.m. so that when normal people are up and about, they're not seeing anyone, hearing any noises. It's quiet. So I can see how they were able to mask and hide that. But man, that would be really hard to hide 13 children from your neighborhood when in California, you know, you're right up next to your neighbors.
Yeah, you can
but they
see
were able
that
to
too.
Do it. And of course, these kids were malnourished, underweight. They came out with accusations of abuse, being chained to bed. So something's really not right about this, but we've seen this before. We've seen where some people are abusive to the children. But what's kind of a little bit upsetting here is that, of course, you're going to have liberal media outlets exploiting this story here, saying, look, see, these kids were homeschooled.
Yeah.
See, they had Christian parents, just to kind of demonize people who homeschool their children Christian.
The fact that they'll try to call these people Christian is just egregious. I mean, obviously these people aren't Christian. They're torturing kids.
Yeah, no, they're not real.
No, that's exactly true.
Alex Jones, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, get this.
That's true. In fact, that's a point I thought of the other day, but I forgot to say it on air. When the Islamists sell hundreds of thousands of women and children to slavery, ISIS isn't Muslims. But then when it's a weird Christian family, oh, then they're Christians.
Yeah. That's
exactly
right.
In fact, they said it is not, nothing that Islam has done is Islamic. They're actually murdering people en masse, but these Christians are bad.
And here's actually a big part of this story that not many people are writing about. But Luis's sister gave an interview where she said that we actually used to see them about 10 years ago. We used to see them because, you know, we would do go to church together and stuff. And she said, Louise said, we are experimenting with different religions. That's what the sister of Louise said. I mean, what does that mean?
Well, I think that it means that we don't know if this could have something linked with the occult. Who knows? That's what you were saying to me in the break, Owen.
That's what I think. And again, I don't want to say too much about this. I've done my research. There's some crazy stuff. But this to me was an act of God, because this girl, this 17-year-old girl, escapes out of a window just a day or two before they were about to move to Oklahoma, where this guy's job was about to take him for a defense contractor. They were about to move him from an hour outside of LA to Oklahoma. Miraculously, the 17-year-old girl escapes from a window, calls police from a deactivated phone, and thank God this happened. Millie Weaver, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Owen.
We're going to be right back on the other side with Ashton Witte. She has some other intel that she got from the Women's March in California. This might shock you.
The fight for the future is now. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
So, if you're wondering why people like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi put non-American citizens ahead of everything else, veterans, American citizens, police, American homeless, whatever it is, taxpayers, it doesn't matter, everyone. They put non-citizens over everyone. If you've ever wondered why, well, it's actually pretty simple. They want their vote. They need their vote. See, they can't actually cultivate votes in their actual district and amongst their actual constituency because they fail their districts. They fail their constituency. They run their cities and their constituencies into the ground. So they have to go elsewhere to get votes. And that's why they put non-citizens ahead of everybody else. But our next guest, Ashton Witte, was in Las Vegas at a leftist political rally and may have discovered something big. Here's that clip.
Card. When one of these women asked me if I was registered to vote, I told them I'm a California resident. I'm from out of state. They gave me this card strictly for Nevada voters. Told me to text this number or go online and register.
I have a question actually about voting. Is this for just Nevada?
This is for Nevada.
We're Nevada. I'm from California.
Okay. So if you have an out of state, what you can do is you can take this. All right. If you text this, power to the polls, it'll come up and you can register.
So here she is, saying she's from California.
I'm not gonna start a conspiracy theory or anything, but that sounds like voter fraud to me. But whatever, turn a state blue, right? Now, as I said 1,000 times, feminism is not about female empowerment. It is about two things, your votes and your
tax. So a great report there from Ashton Witte, and smart thinking to go actually expose that, to say, oh, wait, I'm from California. Let's see if they'll want to register me. So I'm now joined by Ashton Witte. You can find her on Twitter at Ashton Birdie. Same on YouTube at Ashton Birdie. Now, Ashton, you went out to Las Vegas, and you probably weren't expecting to find what you found there with the potential voter fraud. Tell us how that went.
Well, I actually went to the Women's March originally to obviously do the same thing you and Millie did, to expose the craziness. However, something I really realized is that the entire rally was called Power to the Polls. And I remembered that Nevada is a swing state. And I kept thinking the only reason they put this event together is to push for more Democrats in the midterms. And so I thought to myself, I wonder if, you know, obviously California just became a sanctuary state. Obviously, they want Nevada to become a sanctuary state as well as the entire country.
And there are a lot of illegals living in Las Vegas.
Yes, correct. And, you know, it was very interesting for me to be in a swing state because so many of my Uber drivers and just people on the street were actually very pro-Trump, very conservative. Of course, we had some people who were leftists, but they weren't like the crazy leftists you see in New York or California. And so I went to the Women's March and just the craziness that you'd usually see at any Women's March. And I thought to myself, you know, I wonder if I asked them about voting, because there's so many other people out from here from out of state. I wonder how what they're doing for those people. Obviously, they want Nevada voters, but half of the people there, I can guarantee, were not from Nevada. So
was there like a station, or what was this deal that we're trying to recruit people to vote?
Oh, there were people everywhere asking people, are you registered to vote? Have you voted?
You know,
are you voting this year?
You know what? Now that I think about it, we actually experienced that too. Harrison, you remember that actually? Now that I'm thinking about it, it's all right. You don't have to get on the mic, but now that I'm thinking about it, did they have like the boards with the papers, everybody signing it? I actually remember seeing that now. Yeah, okay,
absolutely.
Now I remember seeing that. Sorry, I was so busy getting spat at and swung at that I forgot that minor detail. But yeah, actually, I can confirm we saw that in New York, too.
You could not walk 5 feet without seeing someone with a clipboard in their hand asking you to register to vote.
Okay, so you had the idea to say, okay, I'm from California. I'll tell them I'm from California, even though this is voter registration in Nevada, and let's see what happens. The audio was kind of not audible there for us. So tell our audience what exactly happened when you said, I'm from California. Do you still want me to register in Nevada, essentially?
So what happened was I walked up to her and said, is this for Nevada, strictly for Nevada? I had to make sure of that. It wasn't for all citizens of the U.S. And she said, yes, this is for Nevada. I said, well, I'm from California. How can I help? And she says, okay, well, text this number, Power to the Polls, and it will help you register online.
Now, did you text that number?
I texted a number and it took me to a website, and that is strictly for Nevada.
Interesting. So I guess, well, obviously you don't want to commit voter fraud, but I guess if you wanted to if you wanted to further your investigation, I suppose you would actually try to register there and see what happens.
And you know what's interesting is that we've already seen this at least once with Alabama. And something I've noticed, I was listening to the rally, and something brought up a million times was the voting in Virginia, and they brought up Alabama. And if you go back to the election in Alabama, there are people admitting to the media they committed voter fraud by coming from other states. And so it makes me wonder if that's where they got the same idea.
Of course, she's referring to the viral video. When the one clown is celebrating the fact that Doug Jones beats Roy Moore, and I think the reporter asks him like, oh, you know, why do you like Roy Moore so much, or Doug Jones so much, or you know, what made this possible? And he goes, we came from all over the country to make this possible. So yeah, is he admitting to voter fraud? Do they have the same type of thing in Alabama that they may have been trying to do in Nevada by trying to get you to vote? I guess supposedly trying to get you to register to vote. Again, you told them they were from California. They still gave you the information. But
I'm a registered voter in California. The thing is, they wanted to give me a card that would register me in Nevada. I told them I was a registered voter in California. So I'm obviously a registered to vote. So why are they giving me a registration card to register again for a different state? It's because they want to turn a swing state blue. these swing states like Nevada, especially one next to California, which is already a sanctuary state, is at risk. They're going to go after the swing states first because those are more susceptible to becoming Democratic states. And then the next thing you know, those are going to be sanctuary states. And I really want to warn you, Owen, because you're in Texas. And a lot of these Californians who are like, oh, the taxpayer dollars are so high here, they're going to end up going to your states because it's cheaper there, and they're going to try to turn it into blue states.
Yeah, we're already seeing massive California refugees because it's falling apart because of its Democrat leadership. So they come to Texas that has more conservative leadership. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Once these tax cuts hit from the federal government and then they have to pay their state tax for the first time probably in decades, yeah, they're probably going to be tax refugees moving to Texas. But it's really the illegal vote that I think is more important here, because maybe they're afraid that they're going to actually lose some of the numbers of votes they have that are just non-citizens voting. So they're trying to double down on some other type of voter fraud by having other people vote twice, or have people from California be voting in Nevada or what have you. I'm just trying to figure this out, because we know the Democrats love stealing elections. They love cheating. They love having illegal votes. I mean, just look at all the anomalies from the special election in Alabama, folks. I mean, you look at the science and the data. To me, it's undoubted they stole that election. But I mean, so you think, though, that they're trying to recruit voters from out of state in Nevada to vote there and to make that state blue?
100%. I mean, you're already seeing this with sanctuary states. They're trying to make illegal immigrants here in California registered voters simply with a driver's license. And if California is willing to take in people from other countries, I wouldn't be surprised if Nevada was trying to take other people from other states. And this could be a serious issue among other swing states as well.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know where the story is. I swear it's on my desk here somewhere. I'm going to shuffle around, and I'm sure I can maybe find it, but apparently I can't. But Jeff Sessions has a pulse, and he has announced that he wants the documents from sanctuary cities. I don't know how this story disappeared, but magically it's gone. So Jeff Sessions signaling he's actually going to do something about sanctuary cities. He says he wants those documents. I'm going to find my documents. We're going to break that down on the other side with Ashton Witte. Don't go anywhere. This is The War Room. So here's the deal. You've got the deep state in absolute panic right now because they're all about to be exposed. Their secret society is about to be exposed. And everything that they tried to do to President Trump, the dirty dossier and worse, the likes of which, I mean, this is bigger than Watergate. This is bigger than anything. I mean, you're looking at the next Nuremberg trial here, folks. So the deep state is panicking. They're trying to censor the truth from getting out on all social media. They're trying to say it's all Russian bots. They're lying about everything. And then on the flip side, you have the Democrats doing everything they can to try to maintain any political power by bringing in non-citizens and trying to steal elections like I believe they did in Alabama. But Jeff Sessions shows he has a pulse, and the Department of Justice told 23 local governments today that they must prove they are abiding by immigration law if they want to continue receiving money under a federal crime-fighting program, turning up the heat over the issue known as sanctuary city. So, of course, if you are a sanctuary city, you are not abiding by immigration law. But again, this is the Democrats. This is how they steal elections. Now, Ashton believes that she has discovered an attempt at future voter fraud in Nevada to try to turn it blue. But isn't it, you know, Ashton, just real quick, I mean, what do you think about the desperation and the panic mode in the Democrats in the deep state right now? I mean, they are really against the ropes right now.
Well, you see, we have a president like Trump who is obviously not attached to establishment. He is their worst nightmare. And it comes down to the fact that all of these Democrats, they want to bring in illegal votes. They target the minorities like the women and the black communities and the immigrants, and they use these people, nothing more, for votes and taxpayer dollars. They don't actually care about these communities. They only care about them for the 2 seconds they're in the polls. And so what happens is they make these events like the Women's March, and they target these people, and they're willing to get illegal votes just to stay in power. And it's all tied down to what you just said, the New World Order. And I really think the Democratic Party is tied to that through these votes. They don't care about state laws. They just want one giant government.
Yeah, it's just another angle of control for them. And obviously the Democrats are full open with the open borders, the genocide of the children. They call it abortion. So yeah, it goes along with everything else that the Satanists and the New World Order wants. But retreating back real quick, let's talk about your experience, because you went to Vegas actually to cover the Women's March. We were talking about our experience in New York and in California and in Austin. Obviously, the hatred, the violence, the vitriol, the spitting. I can't believe I'm saying this, the farting. But this is actually happening. What did you experience in Vegas?
Oh, it's the same, basically the same thing you did. Essentially, these people don't care about womanhood. They don't care about standing up for women. They just care about basically whatever is going to brainwash their own communities. You know, I spoke right next to Juanita Broderick the day prior, one of the most wonderful women I've ever met. Do the Women's March care about her? Do they care about what she went through with Bill Clinton? Absolutely not. Instead, they're brainwashed by people like Linda Sasour, who preaches about Islamic terrorism, and they're completely just hypnotized by the Democratic Party and people like Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and actually, I don't know if you knew this, but I wore my Bill Clinton rape t-shirt out to New York to these protests. You know how many of the Me Too Women's Marchers commented on that and stood with Juanita Broderick? And
None.
Not one. But all of them seemed to be fully triggered by my Trump scarf, which made them react in a violent way. So it's funny how that works, huh?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they're so obsessed with comments like grabbing by the, I'm not going to say it because I'm a lady, but yet they're dressing themselves up as, you know, that. And they're completely degrading women by running through the streets with barely any clothes on, calling themselves sluts and whores. And it's just, Do you think this is empowering? Why not stand by the people by the women who are being treated like dirt in Iran? Why not stand by women like Juanita Broderick, who has actually been sexually assaulted by Hillary Clinton's husband, Hillary Clinton, who you all praised for years?
Well, and that's why they won't address it, because these people hate the truth. It hits them like a ton of bricks, and they just can't really handle that. But again, it's really, and I had one of them ask me, like, well, why are you out here? You know, what are you doing out here? And I said, you know, there's people out there that are on the fence or neutral politically, or maybe they're not sure what to think about all this. And when I come out here and I expose you for being an absolute ignorant fool who really isn't out here for women just to hate Trump, and then they start screaming and gnashing at the teeth and everything that you see and the violence and the hatred. And then I'm like, that's why I'm out here, to capture your hatred, to show the world how much of a fraud you are. And they just give it to me. They just give me the gold. They do exactly what I want. And they don't understand that there's people out there that are in the middle of the road that are going to see that video and say, you know what? I'm not even sure if I agree with this conservative politically, but I'll be damned if I'm going to be on the same side as that hate-filled, degenerate.
And his only debate with you is that Alex Jones said the frogs are turning gay, which, by the way, you actually can look into, was a research study done by a UC Berkeley professor. So the fact is we have the facts, we have the research, and they can't even think of proper arguments, and they ignore the facts, like Juanita Broderick and what's going on in Iran, which is exactly why Women's March are so pathetic, really. And so the reality is we're on the right side and people are going to catch on, whether it's late now or later.
It's so funny that you said that, because we had multiple people. I mean, obviously, you know this, but our audience saw this. But we had people from California to New York, literally the entire scope of America, coming up to InfoWars reporters saying gay frogs. It happens every time.
It's an actual chemical. You can look it up.
I know.
I mean,
it's so I think what we're going to have to do now is we're going to have to start carrying around like little business cards or like pamphlets that like cite the study, and say, yeah, it's atrazine. It's actually going on, and give it to them. Actually, that would be a good video, because they would totally fall for it, too. So it's really just incredible. One more thing before we let you go here, Ashen. I believe that the social media gatekeepers are censoring and sabotaging unlike anything we've ever seen before. We had a video that was on the Alex Jones show. It was on Drudge Report for over 24 hours. It might still be on Drudge Report, actually. I haven't checked yet today. It looks like it is finally down from Drudge Report. It was on Drudge Report over 24 hours. It was on the Savage Nation. Easily a video like that should get a million views. Hasn't even hit 100,000 yet. I believe they're stepping up the sabotage and the censorship more than anything else.
100%.
Have you experienced anything like that recently?
Absolutely. My latest video, people can't find, people are starting not to be able to see my videos in their feed, even though they're subscribed to me. And so I can't help but think maybe YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, they're starting to catch on to what I'm doing, despite the fact I'm only about 60,000 views. But they're starting to catch on to me. I think they're trying to block the truth. And especially my Women's March video, that's where it got really weird, because that seems to be the most censored, despite the fact that that's the most information I'm trying to get out.
And I'm going to say this too. And because you said that, I think for whatever reason, they knew that this Women's March was going to make them look so bad that they have been sabotaging this. And I actually believe that they were using Stingray equipment out in the streets of New York to sabotage our videos and to sabotage our cell service. And I think I've got enough circumstantial evidence to not be considered a conspiracy theorist. But we'll see what happens with that, because we need to look into the serial spitter still. And exactly what he was doing and why the police decided to let him go. So Ashton Witty, go to her YouTube channel. They're trying to censor her just like they are trying to censor us as much as they can. They're trying to just erase us from the internet, say we're a Russian bot and delete us. Her YouTube channel, Ashton Birdie, her Twitter account, Ashton Birdie. Ashton, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so there goes Ashton Witty. You know what? I'm sorry, my voice is getting a little sore here, so I need to hit my lung cleanse from InfoWarsStore.com. I don't even know if I'd be able to come on air today if it wasn't for lung cleanse and trying to take care of my voice, because it is just killing me. I don't know if you can notice, so just give me a second here to get the lung cleanse on. You just spray it, you breathe it in. I already feel better. You can probably actually already hear the difference. Okay, so there you go. Lung cleanse, InfoWarsStore.com. It's good for coughs, scratchy throats, after you yelled at protesters for 24 hours, if you need a little rejuvenation, you know, just stuff like that. Or for, you know, people that are recovering smoke errors or what have you, also a great product for that. So that's at InfoWarsStore.com. Just one of the many products at InfoWarsStore.com that is effective. It works. That's why people buy it. That's why people give it the 5-star rating. That's why we're able to fund everything we do here with your support. Build new studios. Expand our live broadcast. I mean, we've got 4 studios right now, the 2 of which are the most updated. We're not even using yet because we're continuing to expand and continuing to build. So it's all up to you at InfoWarsStore.com. Huge specials. Check out the specials. Survival Shield X2. Vitamin B12, Secret 12, it's all at InfoWarsStore.com, and you make it all possible. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at InfoWars.com/show.
So there's all this developing news right now. And we covered the FISA document. In fact, I've got it right here. The top secret FISA document. And I didn't really get much more into this today. I did a little more reading of it. But we're going to really be breaking this down with Tyler Nixon. I know he was supposed to be on yesterday, but he had something come up. But he's going to come in studio to break this down with us and break down the legal precedents here and what it all means. So you've got all that going on. And then you've got Paul Joseph Watson's latest story. FISA memo could be made public by a congressman simply reading it on the House floor. You wonder what the possibility of that is. And while all that is going on, we finally have a pulse out of Jeff Sessions indicating that the Department of Justice is finally going to do something about sanctuary cities. Now, here was Sarah Huckabee Sanders addressing a question on sanctuary cities today.
The Justice Department is threatening 23 so-called sanctuary cities, including New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles, with subpoenas if they fail to provide documents to show whether local law enforcement officials are sharing information with federal immigration authorities. What's the White House's view on this? And the fallout from that appears to have affected the attendance of some mayors to today's event. If you would comment on that, I appreciate it.
The White House has been very clear that we don't support sanctuary cities. We support enforcing the law and following the law. And that is the Department of Justice's job, is to do exactly that. And if mayors have a problem with that, they should talk to Congress, the people that pass the laws. Department of Justice enforces them. And as long as that is the law, the Department of Justice is going to strongly enforce it.
How will that impact the White House's relationship with some of the larger city mayors in this country, with whom this White House has pledged to not only work hand in hand on some major policy issues, in particular with infrastructure?
Look, we would love to be able to work with these mayors, particularly on issues like infrastructure and other things, but we cannot allow people to pick and choose what laws they want to follow. If we have a country with no laws, then nothing matters. So
or
we
no
cannot
border.
Allow a few individual people
you
to
don't
decide
have a country.
That they don't want to follow the rules. You guys wouldn't be allowed to do that in your own networks and outlets, and the federal government cannot allow people to act independently and completely ignore the law. Major.
In the development,
she does a good job with her rhetoric there, just saying they're breaking the law. They're breaking the law. They're breaking the law. And they don't actually want to admit that. It's all about virtue signaling, like, how dare you do this to these innocent people? It's like, no, we're following the law. So that is now a developing story. But Lindsey Graham-nesty, who seems to be a happy member of the Trump train, still likes to go back to his old rhino techniques and goes on Tucker Carlson and says America's not about its people.
Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina released a statement today that neatly summarizes how most of official Washington thinks about this subject. In a statement, Graham dismisses the idea that America should even think about what kind of people it lets in. Quote,
oh.
I've always believed that America is an idea, Graham wrote, not defined by its people, but by its ideals. Diversity has always been our strength.
Pause it right there.
Weakness.
Pause it right there, though. Think about Lindsey Graham. I guarantee you this guy has armed security. I guarantee you this guy has an advanced security system at his house. And I guarantee you that Lindsey Graham ain't taking no stranger into his home. Oh, but as far as America's concerned, yeah, we don't need a vetting process. We don't need to think about who we let in. Hey, can me and my 10 buddies come over for a beer at your house, Lindsey? Well, who are they? What? No. I can't. I don't know them. I have to think about this. Oh, but you know, let anyone into America. That's okay, Lindsey Graham-nesty. Finish the clip.
America is defined by its ideals. Okay. So what are those ideals? It might be useful to know, considering how important they are. Well, diversity is our strength is the only one our leaders seem to agree on. The less we have in common, somehow, the stronger we are. Is that true? We better hope it's true because we're betting everything on it. But there's a deeper problem with what Senator Graham said. Quote, America is not defined by its people. Really? What do its people
so it turns out Lindsey Graham-nesty might just be a bumbling moron.
Frank in North Carolina, thanks for holding so long. Go ahead.
Yeah, Alec, I just have to say something, man. It seems like every time I turn on your broadcast, you're bragging. It just gets old, man.
I'm going to shut you down right now, okay?
Let's make talk radio great again.
This is The War Room.
So Adam Kokesh is a patriot, a veteran, and he has announced, well, he actually filed the papers to run for president in 2020. Now, if he runs against Trump, I will be honest, he's probably not going to get my support, but I salute his efforts, and I do believe he is a valid American and a patriot, and obviously we salute everything he's done for this country, but he's also been persecuted politically. He's had to deal with a bunch of legal issues and arrests and what have you. And most recently, I think it was not too much, not too long after he actually filed his papers to be running for president, he actually gets arrested. Now, he filmed the entire thing, and he filmed the event with the police. And if you're not familiar with Adam Cash, he's a libertarian. He has the radical ideas of liberty and justice for all. I mean, I know it's crazy that somebody might actually have those staunch beliefs. But we're supposed to be joined by him, and actually from jail is what I'm being told. So we're trying to make that connection right now, guys. Let me know when we got him lined up. So Adam Kokesh, again, you may have heard of him. He's got a YouTube channel. And just pretty much as far to the base of liberty as you can get, I would say, with Adam Kokesh. I mean, he pretty much wants no government, I would even say, to an extent. He can speak for himself on that. But again, he announces his run for president and then immediately gets arrested. Right after that, the entire video, he streamed live. And so he's actually still being held in jail. And even though they agreed to a bond, I think he elected to actually stay, if I'm understanding the story right, instead of take that immediate bond. So I'm not sure exactly what he's thinking, but we're working on getting him on right now. And you can judge the details of this for yourself, but to me, it's all about standing up for people that are getting politically prosecuted and politically persecuted, whether that be the Paul Manaforts with the entrapment or whether that be Adam Kokesh because he wants to run for president, or even if that's a liberal whose ideas get censored on Twitter or Facebook, even though, of course, that would never happen. They're on the side of the Nazis with that deal. So that's not the case. So we're going to be working on getting him. So, guys, just let me know when that connection is made. All right. Well, somebody tell me what's going on. Okay. Okay. So we're trying to get him connected from jail. In the meantime, I do have some other news that I can cover. So let me just do that. This is actually incredible. Now, again, I'm saying that social media right now, we already know they're censoring us. Project Veritas has got YouTube and Twitter, Facebook probably next, to admit that they censor us and that they want us to stop. You have congressmen on the floor talking about censoring us. You have them freaking out that we have the number one trend on Twitter, that we would be breaking a story on Twitter and that they have to do something about it. They say, oh, we'll do something about it during lunch. We'll do something about InfoWars. Hillary Clinton mentions us. So we know we're under attack, but it's gone beyond just us being under attack to extreme levels, the likes of which I don't think have ever been reached before. But now you have Dianne Feinstein and Adam Schiff writing a letter from the Congress of the United States to Mark Zuckerberg and to Jack Dorsey of Twitter. That's Facebook and Twitter. Did you know that? I didn't know this. Mark Zuckerberg's address is number one hacker way. Is that him admitting something? Is that Mark Zuckerberg admitting he's hacking into your life with Facebook? Oh my gosh. What a freak. That guy is weird, dude. Wow. Number one hacker way. So yeah, Mark Zuckerberg is the number one hacker. He hacks into your private messages. He hacks into your private life. He gets all your information, sells it to advertisers. So I guess that makes sense with Facebook. I mean, they are the number one hackers. They hack into your life. They know everything you do. They have all the intel on you. They sell it to advertisers. So, wow. Okay, Mark Zuckerberg. So anyway, Feinstein and Schiff send this congressional note saying that anyone tweeting, here you go, several Twitter hashtags, including hashtag release the memo, calling for release of these talking points. Adam Schiff keeps saying these are talking points. No, they're not talking points, and they're going to be backed up by a FISA court document, you absolute weasel, Adam Schiff. He says calling for release of these talking points. Again, if they were just talking points, why would they be trying to censor it? If they were just talking points, why would Adam Schiff be freaking out? It doesn't make sense. They're obviously not just talking points. They're very damning evidence and memos. calling for the release of the talking points attacking the Mueller investigation were born in the hours after the committee vote. So by Friday, January 19th, 2018, the release the memo hashtag was the top trending hashtag amongst Twitter accounts believed to be operated by Kremlin-linked groups. And so then everybody that tweeted about hashtag the memo got an email or a notice from Twitter saying, you're a Russian bot, we're shutting you down, even though they're real humans that are Americans. And so that's all going on, even though this is apparently just talking points. It's just talking points, but we have to do everything we can to try to stop this because they're Russian agents, even though we also are saying that the Russians were trying to blackmail Trump with the dossier. The Russians are obviously also helping Trump on Twitter with the Russian bots. Yeah, because that's how we live in the liberal land of doublethink. So again, InfoWars dominates and gets the trending hashtag. What does the United States government do? Say, shut it down. And so they say, we therefore request that your companies conduct an in-depth forensic examination of this real-time activity on your platforms to determine whether and how many accounts linked to Russian influence operations are involved in this campaign. Literally absurd. They found like $25,000 on Facebook after the election. That's like a drop in the ocean. The frequency and volume of their postings on this topic and how many legitimate Twitter and Facebook account holders have been exposed to this campaign. Do you see what they're telling you here, folks? They're about to be exposed. Adam Schiff is about to be exposed. The Democrats are about to be exposed. Trump is the real president, and they cannot let you know that, so they keep telling you there's some Russian influence behind it. Totally made up, totally fabricated, absolutely, absolutely false. And so then in their hubris and in their panic, they tell Twitter and Facebook to censor conservatives because they're Russians. Well, how about this? Maybe a Russian has an opinion too. Maybe Adam Schiff, in fact, that's what it is. Adam Schiff and Dianne Feinstein are anti-Russian. They are racist against Russians. Yes, I'm going to say that. You tell me I'm a racist if I talk the truth about a Muslim terror attack, even though it's not a race. So I'll say you're a racist, Dianne Feinstein and Adam Schiff, against Russians. So Dianne Feinstein and Adam Schiff are racist against Russians that don't exist. So how do you like that? And now they're telling, the government is telling Facebook and Twitter to censor hashtag release the memo, censor hashtag conservatives, censor hashtag Trump supporters, shut it down because they want to stop the true third great awakening. They want to stop the second American revolution. And people like pencil neck Adam Schiff and Dianne Feinstein probably have copious amounts of skeletons in their closet that they don't want to get exposed. And Adam Schiff, I don't know what his involvement is as far as this memo that's going to be released, but he's got something to hide. Otherwise, he wouldn't be coming out making things up and lying to the American public and trying to stymie the second American revolution. So there you go. There's our government telling you, telling Facebook and Twitter that Trump supporters are Russian bots. You're not real. You don't exist. You need to be shut down. Don't you get it? They're trying to stop you. They're trying to hinder you. They don't want you to exist. They hate you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the War Room. We had Adam Kokesh all lined up. We were going to cover the story of his arrest the other day, and it looks like that has been shut down. So not sure what's going on with Kokesh. We're in touch with his people. They don't know what's going on either. It looks like that has been shut down. In fact, they're concerned about him right now because they haven't heard from him. So not sure what's going on with that. Again, you know, I don't necessarily agree with Adam Kokesh's policies 100%, but he's a libertarian. He loves freedom, and he believes in justice. He's a veteran. And when I see him getting censored and shut down because he wants to run for president, then I will stand up for Adam Kokesh. even though if he ran against Trump, he obviously wouldn't be my candidate. But regardless, this is a man who has always talked staunchly about freedom and justice and liberty. And I mean, really, you know, it's funny if Antifa really had a brain and they really understood policy and they really understood government and the Constitution. The funny thing is Adam Kokesh would actually be their guy. I mean, he is the he is like the most, like, he doesn't want any government at all. He wants just total freedom pretty much. And it's funny because but you know, whatever, it's just strange. So anyway, it looks like that is getting shut down because we haven't heard from Adam and neither has his people. They're actually worried about it. So Adam Kokesh gets arrested just moments after he announces he's going to run for president. So because we don't have the segments with Adam, I've decided I'm going to open up the phone lines. 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. Do you like Owen with the meek voice from yelling at protesters or the normal 500 level decibel voice? The crew has already voted. They're glad I'm not yelling all day. No. Real topics, real discussions here. We've got the Peter Stroke missing texts. What do you think is in those texts? Will they be recovered? You've got the FISA document that pretty much tells you all the illegal activity from the Obama administration. You've got Trump defeating the Democrats on DACA. Now the Democrats protest Pelosi's events, protest Chuck Schumer's house, and yet they still don't have DACA. So Trump is winning there. You've got Sessions signaling he's coming for the sanctuary cities. How about the huge arrests made of the two parents with the 13 kids that we know of? There could be more going on there, the Turpins. So pretty much an open line situation here with everything that's going on. And if you really want to understand the Russian fake dossier, the Epoch Times has put out an incredible graphic. They're calling it the insurance policy. Of course, the insurance policy is quoting the text of Peter Stroke. When they found out that Trump may actually have a chance to win the presidency, Peter Stroke said, "We need an insurance policy." Now, I actually at first believed that the insurance policy was the dirty dossier. But now that we're discovering more, I'm starting to think that the insurance policy was actually a political assassination attempt. And I think we're going to find all of this out when we get the released text messages and when we get the memo, which I'm expecting to happen before February 5th. So what is going to come of all that? The next Nuremberg trial? I don't know, but here we are in some of the most incredible times in human history, and it's an honor to be experiencing them with you, fellow patriots. So let's go out to the phone lines. We've got David in Oklahoma, wants to talk DACA. David, what's on your mind?
No, sir. And those, you know, those finally I talked to somebody, those DACA people, that every time I see them in TV posting and on Washington government, that's pissing me off. Like, what the hell? Tell them to get out of here and go disappear somewhere else. Don't come back. You know, and then after that, you know, about a year ago, I almost got killed by illegal immigrants.
What happened to you?
Yeah, my dad was driving to me. He was driving me to work, and it was a green light. A legal immigrant hit my dad's car to the side, all the way turned. It messed up my old car, almost killed me, and almost killed my dad. And the guy wasn't finished. Legal immigrant, he wasn't finished. He turned the other way. Yeah, I tried to kill somebody else, and then he got out of the car. He ran, and they caught him.
Was he drunk?
No.
Did he have a driver's license?
No, he stole a truck, sir. He stole a damn truck.
Now, do you know any other details about this individual? Had he been deported before?
Yeah, I went to Oklahoma City downtown. What kind of person is he? He was 20. He was 20 years old. A little thug. A little thug. You don't know what to do. Steal cars, and then after that, sir, he went to another town. Norman. He went to Norman.
So you're telling me that he hit your car, a stolen vehicle, yep. and still didn't get deported?
Nope. I found out. And I know what? After that, I made sure I went to downtown to the county. And I talked to somebody in the front. I told him, are you sure this person out of the United States or put him 2 years? It's better give him a sentence. Give him 2 years, 3 years in prison, and then send him back. You know what I mean?
All right, we got to dump you, David. We got to dump you. No cursing. We are on terrestrial radio here, so we got to dump you if you curse. Thank you, David, for the call. Pretty incredible story. David claims he and his father were hit by an illegal immigrant driving a stolen vehicle, and that individual still did not get deported. And if I'm hearing David right, unfortunately, we had to let him go because he was cursing. But if I'm hearing David right, this individual was also able to get out of jail and move to a new city. Last I checked, Grand Theft Auto plus, I mean, you got all kinds of other charges. Reckless endangerment you could get. I mean, I'm just trying to think about all the charges when you steal a car and hit and run. I mean, that's got to be minimum 10, 15 years in jail. And somehow this individual is able to get out. I mean, what? Again, screw white privilege. Give me the illegal immigrant privilege. My goodness. Let's go to Reggie calling in from Washington. What's on your mind, Reggie? You wanted to talk about the memo.
Hey, Owen, how you doing? Great to be on with you. I just want to say that I think the memo, I have a feeling that Trump is waiting to release it as kind of like a strategic play, like the ace up his sleeve right now.
Well, I think that's Trump. There's no doubt Trump is the ultimate strategist right now. I mean, the grand chessboard master for sure. I mean, just look at how he destroyed Chuck Schumer. But
exactly.
I agree with you. I'm not sure if it's going to be Trump, but I do think this memo is about to just blow this whole thing wide open.
I agree with you on that.
Anything else, yeah, Reggie?
I just want to say keep up the great work. Love all the products. I take Super Male. The colloidal silver has helped my infant son get over multiple colds. And the X2, also a great product. B12, I noticed.
Well, thank you so much, Reggie. Infowarsstore.com is where you can get those products. A great caller there, Reggie.
This is the return of the Republic. And this is the War Room. With Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Okay, this is nuts. I've got three things right now that literally just came down the pipeline. Now, I'm not going to say the name because we can't confirm this yet, but we may have ID'd the serial spitter, also known as Leather Baby. So we may have identified the serial spitter / leather baby that the New York police, to me, were obviously protecting, because 10 of them saw the spitter, multiple saw the spit, saw the evidence, saw it happen. We broke down that other video that we found of the serial spitter spitting on another conservative, cursing him out, and the police saw it on the scene and still did nothing. Now, again, I'm actually having people here saying I'm crazy for thinking he had stingray gear on. But I saw the bag, it said Stingray, and you can go look at Stingray equipment and decide for yourself. But it would go along with a potential theory that we were being dramatically sabotaged out there. Well, what type of equipment would be used to sabotage us? Stingray equipment. So you've got those two things developing. I'm about to go to this clip from Lou Dobbs saying it's time to declare war against the deep state. Well, it's been about 20 years time to declare war against the deep state, but it's nice that we finally have all these patriots coming aboard, including Lou Dobbs. And you've got the terms globalism and deep state are now a household term. Well, it's been a household term here at InfoWars for 20 years. Tomorrow's news today, once again. Next decade's news today, once again. But there's another development. Now, Barack Obama has not tweeted since January 15th. QAnon has just posted that Barack Hussein Obama has just obtained legal counsel. And think about, with everything going on right now, everything developing, and the fact that InfoWars blew the lid off of the top secret FISA document yesterday that tells you all the illegal activity that was going on in the Obama administration as far as queries and procedural tactics to acquire data, which I believe is the Trump Russia fake dossier. There's our own Jerry Corsi. So there you go, folks. This is all happening. And finally, we have members of the mainstream news at Fox. Honestly, I got to tell you, the only reporter at Fox to me that isn't totally sold out is, or the only reporter at Fox that isn't a patriot right now to me is Shep Smith. Now, they bring on liberals and stuff that don't like Trump, but Shep Smith seems to be actively trying to invoke the propaganda against Trump. I mean, every time Shep Smith has a twist and a spin that's anti-Trump, anti-truth. So now Lou Dobbs, who has his show every night on Fox Business, it's a great show, says it's time to declare war against the deep state. Here is this clip.
Good evening, everybody. It may be time to declare war outright against the deep state and clear out the rot in the upper levels of the FBI.
But here's the thing. Pause it right there.
Yes,
the war against the deep state has been going on. Now we're about to finish it. Finish up with Lou Dobbs.
Said the rot. The FBI and the DOJ have broken the public trust by destroying evidence, defying oversight, and actively trying to bring down the Trump presidency.
That's right.
There are new concerns that anti-Trump FBI officials formed even a secret society at the FBI.
Secret society. Who's been telling you about a secret society for decades? Infowars.com.
Lawmakers who've seen some of the thousands of texts between the FBI's Peter Strzok and Lisa Page.
So when are we, the quote-unquote conspiracy theorists, going to get our Pulitzer Prizes for telling you there was a secret society? Where is Alex Jones's parade for reporting on the secret societies 20 years ago? You know, they keep continuing to call InfoWars fake news. There's another story, I think it was in Metro, saying that InfoWars was fake news. Today that was, I think. And it's like, wait a second, we just got these texts from the FBI talking about a secret society. Again, InfoWars.com. Next decade's news today. So who reported on the secret society before it was cool? Who reported on the secret society before everyone else was doing it? Alex Jones and InfoWars.com. Who was saying globalists and deep state on the air all the time before it was cool, before it was trendy? InfoWars.com, Alex Jones, next year's news today, next decade's news today. So this is all breaking. This is all groundbreaking. I can't believe it. I mean, this is just... We are in the true third great awakening. We are in the second American Revolution. Buckle up, folks. It's about to get bumpy. Let's go to Mark in Ohio. Says Hillary's continuing Obama's work. QAnon says that Obama has now obtained legal counsel. It would make sense. What do you think's going on there, Mark?
I think back in 2008 when her and Obama were running against each other, I think you guys reported that they were, all these reporters were supposed to talk to Obama on the airplane, but him and Hillary were gone to a secret meeting. I believe in that secret meeting they were talking about that Hillary would step aside and Obama would be president for 8 years. Then after he was done being president, Hillary would run, become president and complete what Obama started. And I believe that's where all the anger is from with Obama. I'm with Donald Trump being president, is that their plan got ruined by Donald Trump becoming a president.
Well, I'm not sure how much Obama is ticked off about that. Obviously, Hillary Clinton is ticked off. Obama is going to be ticked off because this FISA document basically documents all of the illegal activity in his DOJ and in the FBI and in the NSA and everything that was going on while he was president under his command. And then you're going to have the collusion with the DOJ and the Obama administration and the FBI to let Hillary Clinton off the hook. You're going to have the collusion to create and certify the fake Russian dossier. So this is going to bring Obama down with everyone else. I mean, we're seriously looking at the next, Nuremberg trial type of thing here. So as far as the plan, though, for Hillary to come in after Obama, I mean, obviously the entire deep state New World Order planned on Hillary being the final nail in the coffin for America. Absolutely. I would agree with you there. Thank you for the call, Mark. Let's go to Hotshot calling in from California. Hotshot. If we go on the road nowadays, we have to have security now. I mean, it's an absolute fact. Do we have Hotshot? Okay, sounds like we lost Hotshot. He wanted to say that, he's concerned for our personal safety during these live broadcasts. So I'll just tell you this, folks. I normally don't go out with security. I'll be honest with you. I'll be perfectly honest with you. And as far as security in New York, we really didn't have any. I mean, we had ourselves, and when we were fully squatted up, we had four people. Other than that, I'm responsible for myself. I protect myself. I mean, you've seen the videos. I go right into the belly of this beast alone. I went down to Austin, Texas, during a removal of a Confederate statue where they said they wanted to death to America, and they were vitriolic there. I went down to the Case Steinle march all by myself where they were pointing guns at me. But it's reached a point now where we can't go by ourselves anymore. We have to have security. Alex can't go anywhere without security, obviously. And it's not cheap, folks. So if you like what we do, if you want us to do more reporting on the road, if you want us to go to more events, you have to support us at Infowars.com. And that's really what it comes down to. I mean, Alex is not going to send us on the road anymore without security, folks. It's getting so out of hand. You've seen what they've done. They assault us. They throw things at us. These people are getting more and more violent. And Alex doesn't want us to go out there and risk our lives. I mean, he knows we're willing to do it because we're patriots, but that's not what he wants. And he wants to be able to make sure everyone's safe. And, you know, he's upped security here. We've got more security here than ever, too, because they're threatening us. So, I mean, we need your support, folks. We need your support. We give you great products. It's a win-win situation. We promise we will never stop. But you have to have our back, and you do. Support us at Infowars.com. So I salute you.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Is just the calm before the storm, and the deep state is in the middle of the storm right now. You've got QAnon saying that Obama has just lawyered up. You've got QAnon saying that the deleted text messages contained political assassination talk. Meanwhile, Release the Memo is trending number one on social media, so Adam Schiff and Dianne Feinstein send an official letter from Congress to Facebook and Twitter to censor and stop that hashtag from trending and to purge itself of the Russian bots. Now, again, this is a story that first came to me just over a week ago where some of my friends and followers were sending me notifications they were getting saying, "We've identified you as a Russian bot. We're shutting you down." And I was like, wow, this is big. This is breaking. And then slowly but surely, the floodgates opened, and it was 30 people, 40 people. And now everybody is getting this. If you constantly tweet about hashtag release the memo, you're considered a Russian bot, even though you're a real person. Because it's not about trying to stop Russian bots. They know that's fake news. It's about stopping the American people from getting the truth. It's about stopping the third great awakening. It's about stopping the second American Revolution. That's what this is all about. And it's all in the interest of protecting the criminal cabals that sold America down the drain and want to work towards a one world government so that they can put the boot on the face of humanity. just like in 1984, and that's why all of their brainwashed minions have to have their 5 minutes of hate at a women's march, just like 1984, and that's why love is hate to their reality, just like 1984. So that's all going on, and it's just, it's all crazy. You had the act of God. I still think this story needs to get more attention, where a 17-year-old girl escapes captivity from her parents, calls the police, saves 13 children aged 2 to 9 from the Turpin family, and that's the least of what we know. I think the details of this story are actually going to get a lot more disgusting. Let's go back to the phone lines for now, though. Let's go to Steven calling in from Pittsburgh. He wants to call in from Steel Country. Is Steel Country seeing the boom, Steven?
Oh, yes, sir, absolutely. I just want to say you guys are doing a great job at Full Wars. You guys are awesome. A lot of supporters up here in Pittsburgh. I just want to tell you guys, you know, everybody out there listening, you know, in 2015, there was all this threat of TPP. Everybody was talking about it and everything. And I'm going to tell you, I went from a 6-day work week down to a 3-day work week and then a layoff. And as soon as President Trump came in, I mean, business is booming again. We just got an order for 1.3 million pieces of specialized steel. And I'm telling you, Trump is on the right path. And he is definitely a godsend for this entire country. Also, you know, this thing with this FISA document coming out, you know, there's a lot of people out there that just aren't informed about this. They're missing it, you know. And when it comes out, it's going to be an explosion in this country.
Yeah, it really is. I've always wondered, what is the left going to do? What are the brainwashed minions going to do? What are the hosts on CNN, MSNBC, ABC News going to do when it all comes out? Obama was acting criminally the whole time. Hillary Clinton was acting criminally the whole time. And there was indeed a secret society that was anti-American, trying to separate from the rest of humanity and keep the rest of us in the dark. Yeah, that was all going on. We told you about it. And what are they going to do? I mean, what do you think they're going to do, Stephen, when their entire reality comes crashing down on them?
Well, I think what they're going to do is they're going to pull the same old move that the left always does, and they're going to try to point the finger, only this time there is no other place to point the finger. So it's going to be time to pay the piper, you know, and the American people are going to want that payment made. You know what I mean?
Oh, I've got people, look, I'm talking to people and I'm like, hey, it's going down, man. I mean, it's coming down. I mean, this is real. This is real stuff. And the constant response I get is, will people be arrested? And I say, I can't say that. I mean, of all the injustice, of all the criminality, it's impossible for me to believe that we're finally going to have the amount of justice that would land one of these major crime operators like a Hillary Clinton in jail. But maybe this is finally it. I mean, maybe this is finally it. Maybe the dam is finally going to break and the Nuremberg trial is finally going to arrest this entire criminal cabal inside the secret society.
Well, yeah. And you know what? Arrests have to be made. I mean, otherwise, you know, I'm an Air Force veteran. What did I fight for? You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I did 6 years in the Air Force. This is Americana right here. The time for this lack of, you know, personal responsibility and ownership of things that go wrong in this country, it has to end now. It has to end. Otherwise, you know, we're going down the wrong path here. And I think, you know, there's a lot of patriots out there that are trying to get everybody informed. We're trying to, you know, tell everybody that, look, you go out there and you break the law, it's time. We need a payment. The American people need a payment for all this treason that's been going on.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're going to break the law in this country and commit treason, you're going to hang from the gallows. That'll stop them from doing it again.
Well, you know what? I think those days are done, but you know what? That's what the law calls for, and I'd love to see it. We have to make an example of people going forward that try to destroy America. You know, we're the last stronghold of freedom, you know?
Do you have a family, Stephen?
Absolutely. I'm married. I've been married for 17 years. I have 4 children, 2 boys, 2 girls.
It sounds like one of those youngins might be with you right now. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. They're running around here. Yeah.
So here's Stephen.
We're, We're heading to the gun range this weekend, so.
So here's Steven, Air Force veteran, steel worker in Pittsburgh, has a family and a wife, gets his hours cut and then demoted during the Obama years. Immediately, Trump comes along, and he's back to work, working more than ever, having a boom financially for himself. I mean, do you credit President Trump with that, Steven?
I absolutely credit President Trump, and I'll tell you why. The day that he came down in Trump Tower on the escalator, I looked at my wife and I said, if he announces that he's running for president, I'm voting for him. And she was like, well, you don't even know what he stands for. I said, I know exactly what he stands for. The guy knows how to make money, which is exactly what this country needs. We've been getting robbed for not just the Obama administration, but for a long time, we've been getting robbed. Mm-hmm. And we feel it here in Western Pennsylvania, and we've seen it for the last 30 years, everything closing down. And I'm going to tell you, this is directly because of Trump. It's directly because of his ability to negotiate and really hold the right people, their feet to the fire. You know, and around here, we'll just say that we'll put their feet, you know, hold their feet to the blast furnace around here, because, I mean, this is what we feed our families with around here. And it's been looking bad for a long time. And we finally looking up. Like I said, we got a big order just a few days ago for 1.3 million pieces of specialized steel, man. And I'm telling you, that's going to keep us busy for a while.
And you're seeing this throughout the entire steel city of Pittsburgh.
All of the plants around here, and there's a lot less left today than there used to be, but all the plants that were still active, they were all on layoffs. They were the employees were furloughed for about a year and a half, and everything is booming again. They're trying to get people hired in, and they can't hire people enough. And wow. That is directly because of this whole tax bill.
And these are good paying jobs, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Wow. I was in a union shop, okay? And then the same company, I ended up getting back in there in a non-union shop. Now, whenever I came back at a higher rate than I did before. And that's a direct testament to this tax bill. These companies know that they're going to be making money, and they're pushing it onto the working man, you know. And
that's right.
If you have the willingness to work, you're going to get paid.
Exactly. Great caller from the Steel City of Pittsburgh, Steven. Thank you so much for your service and your phone call. And I mean, folks, it makes sense. Businesses booming. Stock market booming, manufacturing coming back, that's going to equal jobs. That's going to equal steel jobs. That means more American energy. I mean, the economy is literally booming under Trump, and these nitwit Trump protesters won't even admit it. It's really sad. Get ready for tomorrow. It's going to be another big day. You stay classy, Info Warriors.
Introducing Floralife, the new probiotic line developed exclusively by InfoWars Life after years of research on the human microbiome. Not all probiotics are made the same. Floralife probiotics use a unique targeted delivery system that bypasses the stomach and